For tape, CDs, this from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, September the 4th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on Obeying Lust.
Well, praise God. Privileged to be here. Thank God for the opportunity to be with you. I got a new one. Wednesday night I got up my other one and I turned it on and the screen was, I don't know what you call it, but it wasn't there. And I forgot I could have read it on the cell phone, but anyway, it worked out. You know, the Spirit of God came. God bless. So I'm sure that's His will, whoever's will it was. Thank you, Jesus. I should have turned this on already. There it comes. Praise God. I was telling Deborah, right? I was telling her, you know, I was slow. I wouldn't get a cell phone. Some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. Wouldn't get a cell phone. I wasn't going to do that. Finally got me a little old cheap thing, you know, and wasn't going to text. Well, the kids made me text. Talking how my children did. And I would put my notes in a spiral notebook. And I've got stacks of them. Anybody needs to borrow some sermons? And then I had assistant pastor come, and, you know, they're young, they're doing things different. And I finally moved on. Well, I went to visit a friend that I grew up with in Dallas. He was a pastor, and he said, I want to show you something. And he turned his computer on. I didn't have a computer. And he turned it on. He had the Bible on there and all this. And I really thought that was sinful. I did. I thought, man, this is evil. You shouldn't be doing that. And you know how we were. We just, hey, when I worked at Safeway, our grocery store there in Sulphur Springs, it was the first one to get the scanners. And people quit shopping there. They thought it was a mark of the beast, and they wouldn't come in there. How many of you lived before scanners? So you know, I'm telling your age there, aren't you? Praise God. Well, I think it's about here. Excuse me, I apologize for that. I want to talk to you about a subject this afternoon. And I know it's the Lord. And if you watch we stream our Sunday morning services live and some of the others, and the last two Sundays I talked about this subject. So, Lord, we ask your help. Lord, there's no one you love more than this group right here. Not to say you don't love others, but Lord, you love us. And we are attacked on every side, Lord. And everyone in here, Lord, wherever you put them, the devil's trying to move them away from that. That's the devil's business. Discourage, lie, talk, whatever. God, help us to be steady and to be faithful and to continue doing what you've given us to do. Praise God. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak through your word to our hearts this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Obeying lust. That's what I want to talk to you about. Victory. When you have victory over your lust, over temptation, over sin, victory always feels good, doesn't it? Wish we had more of those and less of them when we don't do well. But victory over temptation is sin. And the rewards of this victory are eternal. The biggest single cause of temptation to sin is lust. It is lust. To lust is to have an intense desire. It is to crave, it's to hunger, to covet, to yearn, to long for something or someone. I know we probably tend to think of the word lust in connection with sexual sin, but it can be lust for anything. Lust for anything. It is an intense desire. But first, I want to talk about several lusts that are listed in the Bible. The first one is the lust of the body. Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon. That word reckon means to count or consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as children of a holy God, He is a holy God, isn't He? And be ye holy, He said. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, that's in the Bible, still in there. As children of a holy God, we're to constantly and continually declare to ourselves, that we're not interested in committing any sin of any size or any sort or any shape at any time, but rather our purpose is to be alive, to please God through the power of His Son. And then verse 12, here it is, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let it not reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now the Holy Spirit here is talking about the lusts that are in our mortal body. Every one of us have this. I don't care how pretty you are, how anything, it doesn't matter. Sweet little old grandma, 80 years old. You know, I had an 80-year-old lady tell me she wasn't dead yet. And you figure out the rest of that. I had an 80-something-year-old pastor tell me, simply, you know, my wife's in a nursing home, so he's going to give me some advice. And he said, now, brother, you watch out for those women. They know your wife's in the nursing home. And I'm fixing to be serious now, okay? There's a woman in his church. His wife had Alzheimer's. And she came and said, now, you know it wouldn't matter right now. And she just propositioned him. That's all. It just flat out didn't. He's 80-something years old. So he was warning me. The Holy Spirit, praise God. He's talking about the lust in our mortal bodies, not lust coming from sin. That have it in the reverse order. Sin is the result of us obeying the lusts that are in our mortal bodies. Now, the Holy Spirit defines our body as being mortal, meaning our bodies are temporary, they're weak, and they're conceived in sin. Therefore, our body is prone to lust that causes sin. Do you know that? Your body is prone to lust. Even when you weren't expecting it to be. When I was very young, I was single, wasn't married yet. I believe I was assistant pastor of the church then. And there was a girl, I've told very few people this, but there was a young girl in the church, and after church she said, I need some counseling. And so she came and she sat in my car. I'd kissed my dog before I kissed her. And it was just that bad. But I was sitting there, and something came over me. Whoa. I've never before felt that in my life. And it wasn't love. And it came over me, and it really scared me. And I told my church that the other day. It's the first time I ever told them. That's right. It's way back there, okay? And I don't think I did anything to cause that I know of. But I would like to tell you that was in the story, but it wasn't. But I was young. I had an apartment of my own. And you that are single have your own apartment or whatever. You better watch out. You know that? You don't have anybody in there to help watch you and keep you honest. But if you really want to do something, you'll do it anyway. I gave up my house. We built it's a 3,000 square foot house. It had 32 acres of palm, cows, everything you want, you know. And I knew God wanted me to move up to, we have two buildings. We have a homeless shelter there at the church. And it would never work unless I moved up there. And I got to where I didn't want to drive up to my house anymore. I hated it. Not because my wife wasn't there. I already been through that about 12 years on and off. That wasn't what it was. And but the Lord, you know, he began to work on me with that. And I moved up there, in there. And there's women and there's men. And there's even children. Some of the women have children. It wasn't long till one of my daughter-in-laws came home from work and said, "Well, you know what they're saying up there where I work? Said you got a younger woman." And so I just say it doesn't matter what you do. I thought, well, I'll build me a cabin way off over there somewhere. Well, it's still, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we have to know that what we're doing is right. We have to know. People are going to say things. There was one period there. I've been there 37 years, and a lot of things come and go. There was one time I didn't want to stick my head out the door, my front door of my house, because of things that were being said. I mean, this is nothing you can do about it. I try to fight it, but you find it right quick, that won't work. It just opens, it makes it worse. And so you just have to live a life, you know, live right. And in time, I can say this, those that have accused me over the years, they're gone. A lot of them are dead. I told you one time a man sued me over a Bible he had given me, Oral Roberts Bible, 10 or 12 years before, but I didn't want the Bible. I want a Bible, but I didn't want that Bible. I didn't like opening up and looking at his picture and what he had to say about things. But I'm just telling you the truth. And so I don't know what happened to it, but somewhere, I hadn't seen it in years. And one time he come out there at our school, and I wasn't there, and he is giving him a hard time. Where's that Bible at, you know? Well, and he's calling and coming, and finally I said, "Look, I don't have the Bible. 10 or 12 years, I don't have the Bible. Don't know where the Bible's at." So he threatened to sue me, and I said, "Well, you just sue me then." Well, he did. And so we went to, I don't know why I'm telling this, but he sued me over it, and the constable came out and served me. I apologized for it, but I still had to go to court. And so it was his wife and my wife and us too. And you not only put up with that man for his wife's sake. This is a man that herded his cattle with a shotgun. He was just as mean. I could write a little book on that man, but he was mean. And she's always talking about shooting him, you know, and how mean he was to her. And so I was going to help her. You'll find out that blood's thicker than water or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they know where their bread and butter is coming from. And so he got up there and he had a stack of checks he had written to the church, his tithe checks. And he'd read them out the day, put it in front of that judge, and then he'd read them and put it in front of that judge. And he went through the whole stack. And then and then the judge asked his wife, "Oh, yeah, that's right. What he said was that he loaned it to me and I need to give it back." To be honest, I don't know if he loaned it or gave it to me, but I didn't have it. And, after it was over, at the end of it, the judge said, I just can't believe two grown men in here arguing over a Bible. And I said, "Sir," when he got through his little speech, I said, "I'm not afraid of him." I said, "Sir, I'm not here arguing over a Bible. I subpoenaed to come here." I need to skip all that part, but he got run over and killed. So there. Don't be messing with me. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a truck got your name on it. Praise God. That's enough. Listen, I'm telling the truth. If you'll do right before God, all your accusers, like Jesus told that woman, "Where are your accusers? Where are my accusers?" Said, "There's none, Lord. There's none, Lord." Praise God. So, all right. We need to get back here. We're going to talk about lust. And so, I did enough confessing and all that. I'm going to go on now. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. The Holy Spirit's talking about lust in our mortal body. He identifies our body as being mortal. Romans 7:17. Awesome. Awesome chapter. It talks about the struggle that the Christian has with sin. Now, some commentators try to say that was before he was saved, but no, it does not. You read it. And he said, there is now then it is no more I, verse 17, that do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's a Christian. But he said, sin that dwells in me. Verse 20, now, if I do that I don't want to do, it's no more I that does it, but sin that dwells in me. And in that same chapter, he said he found a law in himself, that there's sin dwelling in him. It's a law, folks. Are you hearing that? It's a law. And it's all from lust, most of it. I won't say all. There's other things that can cause you to sin, but we're talking about the lust that causes us to sin. Now, it would be impossible for sin to reign in our mortal body if it weren't actually dwelling in our body. There's a great difference between sin dwelling and reigning in our mortal body. That's the difference between it dwelling there and it reigning there. Okay, there's a difference between that. Now, sin dwells in a believer, and you might not agree with that, but it does. He said it does. It dwells in a believer, but it reigns in an unbeliever. It reigns there. I believe that the lust of our mortal body are primarily the lust of our human appetites. Human appetites we're born with. The primary human appetite is for food. I mean, that is probably the, well, you could say water, but food. It is so strong. There are people that will kill for food. I think I've turned into a prepper. I mean, I probably have turned into a prepper. But I have a friend that is Pentecostal. And he's a prepper, and he has food that he's hidden in his house, and you know that expensive freeze-dried food. Very ingenious the way he's hidden it, and he has a hidden room in his house. You know, he showed me. He took me up the wall. This is a wall, but he pushes on something, and it opens up, and they go hide in there. I thought, well, that's okay, but I'm sure they got guns that can see you in there, or whatever. You know, those, I don't know what they are, but some laser something. They got something. And he showed me his guns. I said, well, and he said, if they try to take my food, I'm going to shoot them. I said, shoot them. You should feed them. But I'm telling you, people will kill for food. It's a human appetite. And if we didn't have an appetite, we'd fade away and die. There are appetites that God put in us. And I want to be careful. There's children in here. But there is, in a sense, appetite for sex. There's an appetite for a lot of things, pleasure in us. If there wasn't, we wouldn't be here. Our parents wouldn't, you understand that we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't there. You know, there's going to be a men's only next month, right? Meeting. And I think we could say some things there we can't say here. Okay? So we encourage you to come. The women have been doing this for a long time. But now they're going to have one for men. Now, it's for food. But there's also appetites for pleasure. There's appetites that are unknown to our body unless we introduce things like tobacco, drugs, alcohol into our body. Then there is an appetite created for that. To lust for food is not the same as hunger. It's not the same as hunger. Hunger is because of a lack of nourishment. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they had food. That wasn't a problem they had. But they had angels' food. They had manna. But they loathed it, they despised it, and they began to lust for the type of food they enjoyed back in Egypt, back in the world. See, he brought them out. Look, don't get overconfident. God brought you out, and I've seen them. They come out of prison. They write me while they're in there. Brother Kenson, I'm going to be in church. Some of them never come one time. But I remember one young man, he came and stood over in the, we have three rows of pews, he stood over there and He stood up and said all he was going to do, and he was going to do this, nah, you know, and I'm never going back to prison, and I'm whatever, and he went back to prison because he thought he could do it, and you can't do it. And that lust for drugs, let me tell you something. We're living in a world that is crazy about it. I mean, it's just going crazy. In that home we have, we've lost, almost everyone we've lost is because they're there for a while and they can't stand it any longer. And they're going to, and they're good at it. I'm telling you, they're good at it, sneaking around and getting it, or some way they're very good at it, and they can't let it go. And I have compassion on that. But there's a point where you just can't have that going on. And we had one lady out there. Now this is prescription Xanax. You know what? This is prescription. Well, I don't know what this stuff is. Never did it in my life. Don't know anything about it. And the only thing I've ever taken is a blood pressure pill, and I quit taking that. I got tired of that. But so we let her get a prescription. 90 pills. A day and a half later, she had 35 left. And she started breaking in our rooms and stealing. And I mean, just crazy. And some of you may have children, you know, or you, the children of Israel, but they had food, but they lusted for food. You understand? And Numbers 11:4 says, a mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? But they had food. So men have a wife, but they get to lusting. Why? I said, they're as bad or worse than men now. They got a husband, goes out and works, makes a living. Maybe he's not everything. Maybe he's got fat. Maybe maybe he's not doing this and that. And you go to work, and they go to work, and there's some young guy there, and he's ready to listen to their problems. And, and the first thing you know, she done run off with him. Praise God. Psalm 78:18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat for their lust. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Oh my. He said he prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And James 4:3 says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. On your lust. Do we realize that some of our prayers may actually tempt God, therefore bringing His wrath upon ourselves? That's what they did. They tempted God with their prayers. Psalm 78:30. There's an old song says, some of you old enough if I can get it right. My friends all have Porsches. They said, Lord, please give me a Mercedes Benz. All my friends have Porsches. I must make amends. Okay. Okay, some of you know that. Now, they weren't, in Psalm 78:30, they were not estranged from, or they would not turn away from, or remove from their lust. But while the meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Well, that wasn't the time to be fat, was it? And Psalm 106:14, I can say that because I'm fat, okay? Kind of. Make me feel better. That's not too bad. Psalm 106:14, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in their heart. 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things are for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. God's going to talk to someone in here this afternoon about lust. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now the lust of the body also includes lust for sleep, rather than being productive. You know, like a door, the scripture says in Proverbs, like a door on those hinges turning on that bed. Lust for sleep even. And then, as we mentioned earlier, lust for mood altering chemicals. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We ought to be lusting after the Holy Ghost. Desiring the Holy Ghost. To obey the lust of our body is to allow sin to reign in it. The lust of our body or our flesh, called fleshly lust, are many, and they have great power and influence. Oh, yes, they do. You walk out of that church, you have an experience of God, I'll never do that again. And here comes lust, and you find out who's the bigger boy. You or that lust. These lusts are obeyed when we make provision or a means to fulfill them. See, there are steps, and I don't know how much of that I can get into here, but there's steps to help us with our lust. You're not, I want to say this right, and you may disagree with me. Lust is always going to be there. I said lust is always going to be there. That's what he said in Romans 7. Okay, a law. When I want to do right, but it's there. You can't cast it out. You can't reform it. You cannot. But you can do some things about it, and the Scripture tells us what to do about it. And one thing is, don't make provision for it. There's a man in our church a long time ago, and a friend had given him some stuff, you know, boxes of stuff, and he was going through. He's out by the pond, throwing most of it in his pond. You people live in the city, don't have a pond, you don't know what you're missing. But he's throwing it in his pond. And he came to a joint. You know what I'm talking about. Marijuana. And, well, here's the test. Is he going to make provision for his flesh? Or is he going to throw it in the pond too? Well, he didn't. He hid it in the barn. What's he doing? He's making provision for his flesh. What you got on your mattress? What you got in the closet? Way under there, nobody sees it. Making provision for the flesh. You go rent an X-rated movie. What are you doing? Making provision for your flesh. Watch it on TV. All of you making provision for your flesh. And it's coming, brother and sister.
Yes.
It's coming. You're already on your way. These lusts are obeyed when we make provision. Romans 13:14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, when fulfilling the lust of the body, that's the flesh nature inherent in all of us. We're all born with it. When it becomes the main business of a person's life, fulfilling that lust. I mean, they'll steal from their mama to do it. And when the whole of their living is taken up in fulfilling those lusts, without struggling against them, with no opposition to that lust, then sin reigns in that person. Sin reigns. Maybe you're there, but you're trying to hide it. And maybe you're doing pretty good so far. But your sin will find you out. I mean, I want to give you some hope there. In the Revelation, the Lord said, I gave that woman Jezebel space to repent, and she would not. So what did the Lord do? He exposed her. If you've got it in there, and you don't want to be exposed, and you don't want to cause all kinds of harm and hurt to everybody you love, or to your church, or to whatever, and you don't want to be locked behind bars, and God's giving you space to repent, you better listen. You hear? Because eventually, if you won't, He'll expose you. And not to be mean, but for your own sake. Because nothing else is working. Now, why does the Holy Spirit tell us not to allow sin to reign in our mortal body? James 1:14, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Now, not necessarily, at that point, physical death. It could, but not necessarily. When Adam and Eve, when the Lord told them, don't eat of that, and the day you do, you'll surely die. And when they ate it, what'd they do? They died. Spiritually. We know they died. They hid from the Lord. They heard His voice. Are these people, I just have to say it this way, you understand. Are these saved people? Oh, yes, they are. They knew His voice. My sheep know my voice. They knew His voice. They heard His voice and ran and hid. And they died spiritually when they ate of that. So the sin, the soul that sins, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sins, it shall die. There's a worse death than physical death. It's spiritual death. The word of God here is referring to all sins, regardless of the type of lust that produces that sin. What is sin? Sin is to disobey the known will of God. James 4:17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body. There's some in here perhaps this afternoon. You're hanging on by a thread. Things are working in your life and you don't want to do it like Paul said. And you're fighting this battle and you feel like you're losing it. You feel like you're losing it. Adam and Eve disobeyed a direct commandment of the Lord, and for that they immediately died spiritually, and later they died physically with a whole lot of pain in between. A whole lot of pain. Now, we talked about the lust of the body or the flesh nature in the body, and now we want to look at some other sources of lust. Lust of the heart. Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Now, the lust of the heart has to do with the emotions or passions of a person's heart. Psalm 81:12, so I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Romans 1:27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. I tell you, when you get to burning in your lust, you'll make a fool out of yourself. 1 Thessalonians 4:5, not in the lust of passion, even as the Gentiles which know not God. 2 Samuel 11:2, and it came to pass in the evening that David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of his house, the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and David sent and inquired after the woman. We're talking about lust of the heart. Now David moved from being clean to being unclean because he allowed the lust of his own heart to gain control of him. And you know the scripture says that God won't allow more to be put upon us than what we're able to bear, but with every temptation to provide a way of escape. And he does that. I know he does that. And David had a way of escape, because when he asked, who is she? Who is she? And they said, well, she's married. She's married. That's Uriah's wife. That was his way of escape, but he ignored it and went right past it. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take or capture you with her eyelids. Lust in after the beauty, her beauty in your heart. Matthew 5:28, but I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You can sit in your house and never see a live woman and lust after them. Just turn that TV on. That's right. Or get on the internet. Lust after them. That's sin, folks. That's adultery. You're committing adultery. I said you're committing adultery. And if you women are doing it, you're committing adultery. Obviously, these scriptures do not apply to a man looking upon his own wife. Okay? We're not that crazy. But now, lust of other things. Mark 4:19, and I need to say that, because here's the accuser of the brethren. That's where that comes in, the accuser of the brethren. A man loving his wife and showing her to do benevolence, as the scripture says, and the devil come on, oh, you lustful thing, you. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let him do that. Lust of other things, Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world, this is a parable of seed and the sower. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, when we should have been desiring the things of God, instead we've been walking with Him a while, that's what this is about, we begin to allow the desires of other things that were not in our lives to now enter in and to distract us until we become unfruitful in the work or to the work of God. Then there's the lust of the devil. John 8:44, Jesus speaking, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, these are lusts coming from outside of us. They're not lusts of our own flesh or our heart. You understand? Coming from outside of us. And the lust of other things. No, I believe that would be from our own selves. But coming from outside, it's like when I was sitting in that car, I had no intentions of anything with her. But it came. I don't know where it came from. It just came in that car. Seriously, it did. I never felt anything. It scared me. That's all right. You can get over being scared. And you move right on into it. If you're not, I mean. Now, the originator of these lusts is the devil himself. Just as there is God's voice, there's our voice, the world's voice, the voice of the devil speaking into us. So there are lusts of our own flesh, the lust of the world, and the lust of the devil working on us. Woo, it's a scary place to live, isn't it, on this earth? You could be a monk, go live in a monastery out in the mountains somewhere, nobody could find you, still have to be eat up with lust. Eat up with it. Because you know why? Because you can play that video in your head. Fantasize. You know, fantasize. Casting down vain imaginations. Fantasies. If we obey the lust of the devil, then he's our father, and God is not. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And I know that. Don't let that discourage you. I want to be encouraged in this effort. Don't let that discourage you. Well, I guess I'm just of the devil. Might as well go ahead and just go for it. No, 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 no. Never quit fighting. Never quit fighting. To obey the lust of our own flesh is dangerous enough. I don't think I have this anywhere in this, but I need to stop and say this. And I know... All of us at times, we really struggle with things. And I, I don't think there's a person in here could stand up and without lying and say you never struggled against anything. I don't care who you are. And Jesus was tempted. Okay? But you're struggling and you're just ready to give up. And here's what we'll do. We'll say like some will look, well, God made me this way. Or we'll just make peace with our sin. You know, well, we think God's going to allow us to have this. You know, He'll allow me to have this. Or we'll do this. As soon as I get through, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. You know, we do that. It's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. And so we'll do those kind of things. But the Scripture says that in faith we wait for the hope of righteousness. In faith we wait for the hope of righteousness. There's not a one of us in here that can make ourselves righteous. You cannot, you cannot, you will not, you cannot. I cannot. It doesn't come from us. Righteousness comes through Christ. And that's a whole other thing. But how righteousness, Christ becomes righteous unto us. But we wait in faith. You know, what do? Well, pray and ask God to make you righteous. Just like you pay when your car payment's 2 months late. Pray for it. Ask for it. You know you're asking for the will of God there. You're not asking to heap it on your lust. You're asking to overcome your lust. Pray for it. Cry out to God. And so maybe you're sick and you got a disease or something. You're praying, you believe, or you're needing a job or whatever it is. And you're praying and hope you wait for it. It will come someday if you'll stay in there. God will give you victory over that thing. Let me tell you this, standing up and confessing it, testifying, that's not necessarily going to work. It might work. The only thing that's really going to work is God does it. And someday you look back and say, hey, you know what? I haven't done that in a while. I haven't done that in a while. That doesn't mean that I go celebrate and do it. But, you know, you haven't done it in a while. That's something else the devil will tell you. You've been a good boy for a long time, a good girl. Why don't you have a little vacation and party a little bit, you know? To obey the lust of our own flesh is dangerous enough, but to obey the lust of the devil is far more dangerous. Lust of youth, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, that's love and action, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, not a heart full of lust of the flesh. Flee youthful lust. Is he only talking to the youth? No, he's not. He's talking to all of us. Flee youthful lust. You know, the devil, he goes after these young people. If he can get them when they're young, get them addicted to something, get them involved in something when they're young, it's like the cigarette company, tobacco company. They've almost got a customer for life. But he said, flee youthful lust. When I was growing up, sitting in church, and in the youth hall there, they had on the pulpit, they had that scripture, remember now your creator in the days of your youth while the evil days come not. And so that stuck in my mind, to remember him while the evil days in your youth. Now, this is primarily perhaps talking about sensual lust. See, the devil takes advantage of young people. They don't know that somebody's going to get pregnant. You know, they don't know this stuff. I mean, they heard it, but they're young. It's not registering, you know. They don't know smoking that cigarette where it's going to lead. And I preached two ladies' funerals in a row. Both of them died of lung cancer. COPD, lung cancer, you know. Both of them attached to one of those plastic hoses to an oxygen machine. And one poor lady, her house, she'd go all around through the doors. And she'd go, she didn't have to back up and go back around, you know, so she could unwind her hose. And I can tell you, when you're young girls and they started that, they didn't know where that's going to end up. One of them would come to church. She got right with God. Bless her heart. She got right with God. No one would come with her. None of her big family, all her grandkids, kids, they wouldn't help her. She'd drive to church. She'd have that oxygen tank, you know, wheeling in there. And she'd sit down on the back pew, just barely making it there. But when it came time to call people up for prayer, she was embarrassed to pull that up there. She'd walk up, barely get to that pew. And won't prayer. Praise God. But then we had another lady in the church mother. You know what I'm talking about. And she found out she had cancer. She run every, this is what a, one pastor told me. She ran every pastor off that had ever been there except one until I got there. Praise God. God killed her and she couldn't run me off. And he did. She died. But you know, she found out she had cancer and she lived another year and she came one more time to church. Oh God, I tell you, if that had been me, I'd have been there every time. I'd have crawled. I'd have had somebody carry me up there. But she never came but one more time. I was visiting her house one time, and she'd always seat me in her living room right across from her. And she'd have her house coat on, and she'd sit there all the time wrapping that house coat up where I couldn't look up her legs. I thought, you old woman, I don't want to see up your legs. And it offended me. It offended me. And one time, I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I'm telling you. But one time, she said, Brother Pinson, if I've ever done anything against you, I want you to forgive me. And I sat there and I thought, you old thing, you know what you've done. Why don't you say what you've done? And so as far as I'm concerned, she would, you know. And when I preached her funeral, I didn't think she made heaven. Yeah, she didn't say what she did. She didn't make heaven. Praise God. But I'm gonna let me tell you this, God dealt with me about that. He dealt with me. And so I know she made heaven. Praise God. He dealt with me.
Did you want to make heaven?
I try to stay away from putting people in heaven or hell.
Yeah.
When you're preaching. And let you really know, I guess. You know, that hole's getting deeper. We'll move on. Sensual desires, but also for youthful lust, pride, ambition. See, some of us are old enough to know we're not going to be president after all, so give that one up. You're not going to be his, you're not going to be there, you're not going to be a movie star. But when they're young, you know, lust of power, ambition, vainglory, popular applause, seeking to have the preeminence, contempt of others. And all such lusts to which most men will sacrifice all other things, their ease, everything, their ease, their pleasure, their health, everything in order to obtain it. They'll sell their soul to get it. Psalm 119:9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way, or a young woman, by taking heed thereto according to your word. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, that's what I was telling you. While the evil days come not, or before they come, nor the years draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Praise God. Don't you want to get to a place where you don't have pleasure in your lust anymore? I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sick of that. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of it. Praise God. Then there's worldly lust. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Present world. There are the lusts of our own flesh, of our heart, of our mind, of the devil, of youth, lust of other things, various lusts, lust of the mind, and lust of the world. That's the ones that I haven't talked about all of them yet, but we have all those lusts. Now, some think that the only place for sober, righteous, and godly living is in the world to come. When I get to heaven, I won't do that anymore. I'm amazed. It's like they think when they're going up, you know, they're going up into heaven, that, I don't know, magic dust will be sprinkled on them. Maybe it's gold dust, I don't know, but one of them's going to be sprinkled on them, and they're going to quit their old anger's going to drop off of them, and their old lusting eyes going to drop off of them, and all this other stuff going to drop off of them. No, it's not. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. And let the wicked still be wicked, and the righteous righteous. And we've got to get these things taken care of now in this present world, he said. In this present world. And God impressed me the other morning in prayer, we need to get busy on this. We really, time's short, we need to get busy on this. We don't have a promise of anything. Now, but they think heaven's the only place for that. But the Word of God says it's now in this present world, right here, right now, as well as tomorrow. What are we going to do about our work, about worldly lust? We're to deny them because they lead to ungodliness. That's what he said, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We must get rid of the darkness in our lives by turning on his light in our lives. You know, you can stand there and rebuke the darkness all you want to, and it's to laugh at you. You turn the light on. I hope that doesn't offend you by what I'm saying. You turn the light on, though. Let me try to explain that. The devil will get you so caught up in your failure and your sin and worrying about it. And are you going to do it tonight? Are you going to do it tomorrow on the way to work? When is it coming? You know it's coming. See, this is the devil talking to you. Am I right? He'll tell you all this stuff. And you're so caught up in it, and it dominates your life. Not doing it, but worrying about doing it. Quit thinking about all that and put your mind on the Lord. Put your mind on the Lord. Start speaking to yourselves. First he said, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And also, this is interesting, he says, submit yourselves to one another. And then he says, and wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And that's the formula. That'll help you out, praise God. Turn it on the light. Now, various lusts, 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by various lusts. Unrepentant sins open us up to various lusts. See, they're laden with sin, okay? They haven't repented of it. And so it's easy to lead them away with various lusts. Unrepentant sins open us up to various lusts and give them a foothold in our lives. Now, there are more than just one type of lust that can lead us away from the Lord. There are various lusts in the devil's arsenal. And then lust in the mind. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I believe this is a lot about Genesis 6, when he said their mind was on evil continually. Their mind was on evil continually. The root of all lust is the flesh, for the lust is a lust factory, well capable of producing enough lust to destroy any and all of us. The lust of the mind have more to do with lusting after fame, fortune, but also include the lust of covetousness, jealousy, envy, retaliation, murder, wrath, plotting evil devices, inventing evil devices. Now, of course, entertaining and yielding to these lusts makes a person a child of wrath, regardless if we think we're a Christian or not. And then deceitful lust. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that's behavior, of the old man, our old carnal nature, the flesh nature, the Adam nature we were born with, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're to put that off. Now, actually, all lusts are deceitful in that they promise certain gains and pleasures. But the pleasures are what? Only for a season. However, in the end, they produce death. Now, if there is lust or deceitful, if we find ourselves believing and following after deceitful lust, this action should show us that we're not putting off or daily denying our own self. If we're following after them. Now, James 1:14 again. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Not mama's lust, not your grandpa's lust, not your neighbor's lust, your own lust. You got enough of your own. Enough to do the job, okay? We'll see him. And enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now this process of being drawn away of our own lust and enticed can take place over an extended period of time. This doesn't happen in 2 hours, necessarily. Could happen in 2 minutes. But, I just have to tell you this. I was in Mexico, and we went there 25 years, and built a church and a lot of things, but took food, clothing. But the pastor's wife's brother, pastor's brother-in-law, I was walking with him down the streets of Nuevo Laredo. And this beautiful young Mexican lady passed him, and his head went like that. Now, what is that? You know? he had a lustful eye. You understand what I'm saying? He had a lustful eye. And I never forgot that. And later on, it went downhill from there. Downhill. Men, if you got to put your head down and look at the floor when you walk around, it'd be better.
Yeah.
And especially this time of year. I used to work in that grocery store, and I hated to see summer coming because nakedness came out. I mean, you just, I mean, here they come, you know. If they could do it in the wintertime, they'd do it. Just let the weather warm up a little bit, and they'd come in there about three quarters naked. And what is that, you know? We just, I can't say that. Anyway, listen, whatever you got to do, whatever you have to do, turn your eyes away from that billboard. Cut that thing off. Why are you sitting there watching it? The process of being drawn away and enticed can take place over an extended period of time. The devil doesn't care if it takes months, years, or a lifetime to draw us away and entice us. So long as we fall into that sin and it brings forth death, he does not care. The process of lust conceiving and bringing forth sin may also happen over a long period of time. Of it conceiving, you see, we've drawn away and enticed, but we're careful. We're not going to let that happen. But then comes that next part, that lust conceiving and bringing forth sin. And that can take an extended period of time. Over a long period of time. Now, this process of being drawn away and enticed may be happening right now in your life. You know it. Right now. You're allowing something. Oh, that won't hurt. But it you're allowing it, and it's going to grow. We all are growing more wicked or more righteous. I guarantee you we are. I've told this a lot of times, but when I was, for 7 years while we were taking care of another church, so I was in effect pastoring two churches, and we'd drive over there 23 miles, and when we first started going, they said, oh, you got to go visit old brother so-and-so. He's in his 90s, and he needs to get saved, and he is mean to his wife, and he is this and that, so I went over there. And, you know, like a good little pastor, like all the others have done. And I went in there, and this old man, he's sitting there, and he don't have hardly any teeth, and bless his heart, he's old, and I mean, he looks old. And he's sitting there in a little house, and he's got a black and white TV, and he's sitting there, and he's watching As the World Turns or something like that. You know. And he's sitting there watching it, and he's got his tongue lolled out, you know. Mm. You know, you understand what that means, okay? They did. Never mind. And so he's sitting there, and I'm trying to talk to him. The man, he don't want to hear me. He don't want to listen to me. I'm interfering with his sitcom. I'm telling you, you grow more wicked or you grow more righteous. You will do. That's why God had to cut it down from 900 something years down to 120 years, then down to 70 years. He had to. My spirit won't always strive with me. And you let those yahoos keep living, then it's going to infect other people. Now, this process of being drawn away and enticed, it could be happening right now. It may seem like it's hidden within us, but it's there. All of this, even though it's a deception, will not stop the end product of death. The amazing thing about deceitful lust is we don't see and understand that what we're really doing when we're entering into that sin by yielding to our lust. Now hear this. It's deceitful. We don't really understand what we're doing. I said earlier about young people don't know where that's going. See? Why is it that our eyes are not open until it's too late? And the sin from yielding to our lust is finished. And the death comes forth. Why is it that we don't see or understand until that happens? We're just like blind as a bat, you know, when we're moving into it. We're deceived. But I'll tell you what, when it's finished, and if you really, you know, you love God and you want to live for God, when it's finished, all of a sudden you know. But you didn't know when you were being tempted. And when you were doing it, you didn't really know. But now you know. Why couldn't we know when we were being tempted and drawn away and enticed? Why didn't we know then? Because it's a deceitful lust. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing, but they didn't really know what they were doing. Did they? The scripture also tells us that, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that if none of the princes of this world knew what they were doing when they crucified him, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's deceitful. They don't really know what they know what they're doing. We're putting a man to death, but they don't really know what they're doing. And so we know what we're doing. We know we're putting our hand in the till and stealing some money and sticking in our pocket, but we don't really know what we're doing. Praise God. A person could not do a worse thing than crucify the Lord of glory. Yet these people committed this murder because of deceitful lust. Praise God. Are you getting tired? I don't want you to get tired because you'll quit listening. You wear the bathroom door out or the water fountain or something. You know, I highly recommend that. If you're tired of sleeping, go get a drink of water. It doesn't offend me. I want to give you some examples of lust and its effect, some other examples. Exodus 15:9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. I tell you what, these ISIS people and all, they're satisfying their lust upon these people. They're getting something out of that. I read Nikki Cruz, you know, how many of you know who? Okay. I read his biography, and I don't know if it's him, it might have been Israel, excuse me. Most of you hadn't heard of Israel, I suppose, the other one. There were two guys that David Wilkerson began to work with, Nikki Cruz and Israel, but I don't remember his last name. And the reason we don't know that much about him is because David Wilkerson was going to pick both those young men up and take them to that farm, but somehow they got mixed up and Israel was on the wrong corner. And he got disgusted and frustrated and said, well, he's not real. I know this because he came to our church years ago and spoke. I thought this young guy was going to come. I didn't realize all these years come. He's old. But he said, well, there's nothing to this. It was a setup. Y'all know what a setup is? Right, well, it is a setup. And so he just went back deeper into sin because David Wilkerson didn't keep his word, he thought. And it's quite, I don't even, you probably couldn't even find that biography now. But he said he used to, when he stuck that knife in him and pulled it out, he got such a rush out of that. It just, it's lust, you know. He got a rush out of it. And he loved to fight. He loved to stick people with a knife and pull it out. And the noise it made when it came out. Well, wait a minute. These ISIS people make him look like a saint. And by the way, we're not hearing near what's going on. You understand that? We're not hearing it, and we're not going to hear it because the news media is not going to tell it. They're going to talk about whether that football player has to be suspended 4 days before games are on. Like the world hinges on that. But the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but they're going to worry about whether he has to play 4 games, has to be suspended for 4 games. Numbers 11:34, and he called the name of that place Kibbath Hathavah. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because there they buried the people that lusted. 1 Corinthians, that's back, you know, the children of Israel lusted. 1 Corinthians in the wilderness, 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Did you know the word lust is in the Bible that much? Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. That is the only way we're going to deal with our lust. You cannot reform it. You cannot cast it out. You can't go to and be hypnotized to get rid of it. You can't take enough pills. You cannot. The only way is that we have to crucify the flesh with its affections and lust. And that's what the Word of God says, and I believe the Word of God. You're going to have to kill it. Only thing is it has more lives than a cat. And it'll be back the next day. And that's why he said, I die daily. And that's why he says, I'm always delivered over death for his name's sake, that the life of Christ might be manifest in my mortal flesh, my mortal body. Praise God. 1 Timothy 6:9. You know, wait, I just need to stop and say something. Somebody's thinking right now, you just don't know. And I can't do that, and I'm weak. You liar? You can too. He wouldn't say you could do it if you couldn't do it. There's not one command in this book that we can't do, or it wouldn't be in that book. God's not playing games with anybody. He says, do we want to or not? 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after or according to their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Wow, that's lust in the church, isn't it? Titus 3:3, for we ourselves are sometimes foolish. You know, there's somebody told me in a long time, you hear this, the preacher's two biggest enemies is money and women. Money and women. Lusting for money or women. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, having various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. James 4:1, from where come wars and fights among you? Come they not even of the lust at war in your members or your body? You lust, and you have not. You kill, you desire, lust to have, you cannot obtain. You fight and war, and you have not because you ask not. And then he goes on, as we read earlier, he goes on saying, you ask him, but you don't get it because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. I think they had a problem with lust. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. See, I need to put this in. It came to me earlier, but I passed it by. The scripture says that if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. Does that mean you're hell bound and there's no hope? That's not what he's saying. He said, he talks here about ignorance, former lust in your ignorance. Now, some actually, these hyper grace people are teaching that that when you're saved, your past sins are forgiven, your present sins, your future sins are forgiven. I mean, it's just don't do what you want to now. It's all forgiven. And it feels good, sounds good. I mean, it'll make your flesh feel good. I believe there's spirits attached to that. I do. But what happens when you sin and you knew what you were doing? What happens then? Are you through? Are you a reprobate? Are you out? Is there any hope for you? Yes, there is. What you have to do is go back through the repentance process. And what he's saying is, if you sin willfully, but you weren't willful, you sinned and it wasn't willful, then I do believe that that's covered by the blood of Jesus. I believe it is. Now, if he brings it to your attention later and you won't deal with it, that's another subject, another issue. But because he doesn't want us to go through, oh, I hope I make head. I hope I didn't do something wrong. I hope I didn't do something I didn't know it was wrong. It's if you know. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it's sin. And so that is covered, praise God. But if you do something willfully, then you got to go through that process of repentance. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming. And I need to stop and say this. There is another situation where people just make up their mind they're not going to do right. They're not going to live for God. Now that's trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus. That's another situation. 1 Peter 1:14, and he says it's impossible to renew them to repentance. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. I read that one. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims on this earth, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. 2 Peter 2:10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this, that there shall come the last day scoffers, walking according or after their own lust. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have walked the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, parties, and abominable idolatries. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God remains forever. Jude 1:16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And then Revelation 18:14, and the lust that your soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. No more at all. whatever you and I might be lusting after now, whatever it's lust of the flesh, lust of the mind, the heart, various lusts, youthful lust, whatever worldly lust, lust of the devil, those are all going to pass. They're all going to pass away, folks. And but he that does the will of the Father, will of God, will remain forever. Forever, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Jane, hallelujah. Let's pray, Lord. Hallelujah, praise your name, Lord. You really care about our struggles with lust. These are all these different lusts. You really care. You really care. You cared when Eve fell victim to lust there in that garden. When she looked at that fruit and saw that it was pleasant to her eyes, you cared. And you care this afternoon, Father, for every young person in here, every child, and every adult that's having a struggle, Lord, with the lust. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord wants to know, are you going to give that up? Are you going to some have given into lust, so that lust so long that you don't see any hope. You don't see any hope. Some of you suffer tremendously. Can I say us? We have suffered tremendously because we yielded to those lusts. And the Lord just says this afternoon, how much more are you going to pay? How much more are you going to suffer? Is it worth it? Is what you're getting out of yielding to that lust, is it really worth it? How foolish. How foolish. It is a choice. Folks, it's a choice. We're making a choice. If you want to just get right down to it, it's a choice between pleasing God and pleasing the lust of our flesh, our heart, whatever. It's a choice between God and hell. So I just don't believe God sent me to hell for this. Well, I think I've read enough. I believe we have. That's 2 months late. Are you about to lose your house? Are you just found out someone's very dear to you has cancer and you're crying out to God for them? Cry out about that lust. Don't believe what the devil's saying, that there's no hope. Don't believe that. That God may have to take you through some very difficult times to work that out of you. Is that what you want? Is that what it's going to take? That prodigal son, he had lust. We know he did. He went to a far country and wasted all his substance on righteous living. He had lust. But when his money was gone, the women were gone, the friends were gone, the food was gone, the housing, and he's in a hog pen. He didn't know what he was doing, did he? But he came to himself. He came to himself. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us to come to ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing? Help us to come to ourselves, Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. If I was, a lot of times in church, I invite people to come to the altars and repent or ask for God's help or whatever. But I want to do this, and it's one of the hardest things I ever do. But I want to pray for you. It's hard to bring myself to do it because I'm telling the devil attacks. You know, while I'm saying that, we need to pray for the staff here, all of them, for Brother Merrill, all of them. For Patty and Kevin and Sandra, Linda, for Rick. We need to pray for these people. We come here. Yeah, it may have been hard for you to get here. The devil attacked, but I tell you, he's attacking them. He's attacking them. Praise God. But those who like prayer, you want to be prayed for. You'll come and stand here across the front. I want to come by and pray for you. And perhaps God will give you word. Touch in some way, I believe He will, if you'll be open to Him. Praise God. It is by the Spirit of God, folks. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And when we're talking about overcoming lust, that's sanctification. So if you want to come and stand, praise God. We'll pray for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever your need is, I need to. What I've been preaching about, I've been pastoring long enough. I know who's going to come up here. It's like, well, if I come up there, I'm admitting that everybody thinks I got raging with lust. If you need healing, if you need a touch in your anything, if you want to come, praise God. I believe God will help you this afternoon. Praise God. I believe He'll help you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know what? It's not the people that come that we need to worry about, it's the ones that don't come. That's right, praise God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Now you that are remaining seated that don't come, you need to be praying. Why don't you pray? Why don't you talk to God? You want to turn around and make an altar there at that chair. Or if you just sit there. But please, no one just looking around on your cell phone or whatever. Talk to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.